Well, just to start with a not really a joke, because it's supposed to be a true story, but it makes a point. In San Diego courtroom, there were some men that were on trial for armed robbery, and the prosecutor called a witness to the stand, and he asked the witness, he said, "So you were there at the scene of the robbery?" And the man said, "Yes." And he said, "And you saw the car speeding away?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "And you saw the two defendants in the car that day?" And he said, "Yes." So the prosecutor says, "Are those two men here in the courtroom today?" And at that point, both the defendants raised their hand. I hope that we're smarter than that. But I want to tell you, we're just as guilty before God. All of us need His grace and love and forgiveness. Every one of us. And you know, guilt is something that we all struggle with at times, even believers, and sometimes even, well, let's put it this way, especially believers, we struggle with guilt. I mean, past sins and mistakes can just haunt you. You can remember them for years and years and years. You know, most of you know that I am really blessed to have a wonderful wife. And part of my secret to a great marriage is that my wife doesn't remember things. See, like this. You remember when I bought you the 24 white roses? No, she doesn't remember. I do lots of nice things she doesn't remember. I just want to tell you. But one day I went to the florist and I said, "I need 24 white roses." The lady starts getting them ready and then she says, "What did you do?" I didn't say a word. I just kept my mouth shut. You know what I'm saying? I just waited for her to finish. But here's the wonderful thing is, no, she doesn't remember the 24 roses. She also doesn't remember what I did. And she doesn't remember a lot of the things that I did. That's why she calls me wonderful. She didn't remember all that stuff. But I just want to tell you, see, we all deal with stuff that we have done in the past, the mistakes that we've made, whether it's this week or even yesterday. Or it might even be something that we remember from years and years and years ago, and we still feel guilty about it. And you know, here's a story that I've told you before a time or two, but to my embarrassment, by the way, but I'm going to tell it again, that 50-something years ago, I was in second or third grade. I don't remember for sure, but I remember the event well. I was sitting in class, and I looked over, and one of my classmates had 35 cents sitting on the shelf in their desk. I think it was their lunch money because the lunch was 35 cents. Yeah. And it haunts me to this day. Not only that I committed such a sin, but the little girl that I took the money from, she wasn't pretty. She didn't have nice clothes. She came from a bad home, and it was a horrible thing that I did that. And you see, I still feel guilt and shame and remorse for something that happened over 50 years ago. Now, I got to tell you, I got a lot newer, fresher stories than that one. I'm not going to tell you any of those. We're going to keep them 50-something years ago this morning. But here's the point I want to make to you. You see, we all deal with guilt. And we need to understand what we sang this morning. We put it under the blood of Jesus. But I think so often for us as believers, we still struggle with that guilt, and it hinders our walk with God. It hinders us from being able to receive the blessings, receive from all the promises that God has made for us. And it could just torment you. It can weigh you down, can rob you of your peace, your joy. That guilt, it can cause you to lose sleep. It can even make you sick. David said in Psalm 38:4, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." Renowned psychiatrist Carl Menninger once said that if he could convince his psychiatric patients that they were forgiven, he said 75% of them could walk out tomorrow. That sounds strange to me, but I know this, that guilt is something that every person deals with, whether they deal with it right or not, every person deals with it. And I want to say to you, if you're dealing with guilt, if you're struggling with guilt this morning, you've come to the right place. No, not because, you know, just by going to church, your guilt is relieved. I think some people do that. They go to church because, you know, oh, I did something wrong. I better go to church. But no, not just because you came to church, but because hopefully you will hear some truth and you can get free from that heaviness, that burden, that weight of guilt on your heart and your life. You know, but too often churches kind of become dispensers of guilt. Churches sometimes use guilt, whether knowingly or unknowingly, but many times they use guilt to manipulate people. I mean, people are guilted into giving. I don't believe in that. People are guilted into worship. I don't believe in that. People are guilted into serving. I don't believe in that. We can't be guilted. That can't be the motivation for why we serve God, why we obey God, why we worship, why we give. Yes, we should do all of those things, but not because we feel guilty. We should do all of those things because we love the Lord. Jesus said, "Those who love me, keep my word." And you see, it ought to be obvious that we really love the Lord, then we want to worship Him. If we really love the Lord, we want to serve Him. But it shouldn't be because of guilt. I'll tell you, we need to deal with guilt this morning and deal with it the right way. But you know, why do we feel guilty? It's a real simple answer. Because we're guilty. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we know this. We know that all have sinned, the Bible says. Amen? I mean, even the world considers the one that thinks they're righteous on their own, you consider that person as a pompous fool. None of us are righteous on our own. Our righteousness, as the Bible says, is filthy rags. But in our society, it's amazing how people try to deal with their guilt by justifying themselves. And so often they do that by blaming somebody or something else. They blame their parents. They blame their spouse. They can blame the pastor. And they make all kinds of excuses like, well, you know, tax season's coming up, and you know, I may fudge just a little bit on my taxes, but taxes are too high. I shouldn't have to pay. They're just robbing me. I shouldn't have to pay all this tax. Somebody takes something from their employer, but they say, but I'm not paid what I should be paid. They owe it to me. It's amazing how people can justify things and rationalize things. You know, here's a popular one in our culture. Well, you know, it didn't hurt anybody, so it's not really wrong. And here's another one that follows that one. Okay, well, yeah, it hurt somebody, but they deserved it. All kinds of justifications, all kinds of ways that people try to deal with their guilt. But I will tell you, the truth is that the guilt still remains. How about this one? There's no moral absolutes. Who's to say what's really right and wrong? I see a lot of people, they just tell themselves they're not guilty. But they are. Romans 2:15, it says this: they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. So get this, their thoughts both accuse them and defend them. You talk about messed up. I mean, they're arguing with themselves. Well, you shouldn't have done that, but it's not really my fault. That was really bad. Well, it didn't hurt anybody, so it's not really wrong. It's just amazing how we can do this back and forth thing with ourselves, trying to justify ourselves. And yet, at the same time, the truth is, the guilt is still there. I think sometimes people think, well, you know, if I just block it out, I don't think about it anymore, it'll just go away. Then there's people that try to pay a price. You know, they're going to deal with their guilt by doing penance somehow. In fact, this one's really popular with religious people. I've seen people do it a lot of times. You know, they want to do something for God, or they want to help somebody to try to make up for a wrong that they committed. You know, some people do this like, well, they did something wrong, and so they want to give a big offering to the church. I just want you to know, you can't be forgiven by giving a big offering, but do it anyway, right? Preachers. No, none of that deals with our guilt. All of that is the attitudes, the ways of man, the religion of man, but none of it truly deals with our guilt. Here's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we do these things because we feel guilty, and maybe it makes us feel a little better, but it's not just about not feeling guilty. It's about removing the guilt, and only God can do that. Only He can truly bring the forgiveness, the release from the guilt that we need. Our greatest need is God's forgiveness. Above all else, we need God's forgiveness. There might be a lot of needs in your life. There might be some things you think are critical, but let me tell you, the most important thing is that we are forgiven. It's an old story written by Ernest Hemingway called The Capital of the World. And in this story, he talks about a Spanish father and his teenage son, and the relationship between them went bad. And the young man eventually ran away from home. His name was Paco, which was a common name. And the father searched for him and searched for him and couldn't find him. And finally, in desperation, he puts an ad in the paper. It says, "Dear Paco, all is forgiven. Please come and meet me in front of the newspaper such and such day and time. Love, Father." He goes there, hopefully, to meet his son. As the story goes, 900 Pacos showed up that day. There were a lot of boys looking for forgiveness from their father. But it's just such a huge need in our world that people need forgiveness. They need to be restored in relationship to our Heavenly Father. We all need that. We all need His forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there's no hope of eternal life. Without forgiveness, we live our lives under a curse, not under the blessings of God. Without forgiveness, we struggle to believe that the promises of God are really for us. It's always there in the back of our mind. Why would God do this for me? We need that forgiveness. It is man's greatest need to be right with God, to be close to God, to have a real relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus came to pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven and restored in relationship to our Father. He came to reconcile us to God, the Bible says, that we can have a real relationship with Him. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." I'm so glad that God forgives. There's a great joy that comes when we know that we know that we know that we are forgiven, that the guilt is gone. Jesus took away our sins. He took away our guilt. You know, when Jesus came, He healed people. He cast out devils. He taught. He preached. He did so many wonderful things. But the most important thing was that He went to the cross and He paid the price. He took our place. He bore our guilt and our shame so that we could be forgiven. That's what he did for us. He made the way forever, for all eternity, past, present, and future. He made the way for people to be forgiven, to be right with God and be close to God. That's always the deepest need. You know, I told the story a few weeks ago when we talked about healing, about a paralytic man being brought to Jesus and how that everyone would have expected Jesus to just heal the man, that this is the obvious need in his life. But Jesus sees something deeper, something more that maybe had to happen, I believe must have needed to happen before he could be healed, was that he needed to be forgiven. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And then he heals him. You see, but so much of the time, we just don't realize that we need forgiveness. And this world, people need forgiveness. We want to see God move and work in somebody's life. We need to understand this is the beginning place. More than anything else, they need God's forgiveness. And the wonderful thing is that Psalms 86 and 5 says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. He is ready to forgive. I want you to know that God has always been this way. Right. Just read from the Old Testament. He is ready to forgive. Some people think in the Old Testament that God was mean and judgmental. No, he's always been a loving God and full of mercy, ready to forgive. But how much more should we as New Testament believers know that our God is ready to forgive? You see, that means right now. A lot of the time, I think when people do something wrong, they feel like they have to pay. And one of the ways that Christians pay is, well, we got to be miserable for a while. I mean, if you did wrong, you can't just turn right around and get forgiveness and go on. Yes, you can. Should we expect that God will forgive us like that? Yes. We should believe in what Jesus did for us. The price was paid. And the Bible says he's ready to forgive. He's ready. Are we ready to receive? You see, sometimes that's the struggle. We feel that guilt. We feel like we got to pay. We got to suffer for a while. But I'm telling you, our God is this good. He's ready to forgive. He doesn't have to think about it. He's not going to make you pay. He doesn't have to get over it. He's ready now. He's ready to forgive. You don't have to do time. You know, you're in guilt jail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I think even though we know God forgives us, we just have to be miserable for a while, like that does something. We just need to believe God, that the Lamb of God has taken away our sins, that he paid the price so we could be forgiven. You know, in this world, sometimes it really offends people when a horrendous sinner, like a murderer, comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and we say they're forgiven. It just violates the sense of human justice. No, they can't be forgiven. That's not right. Some of us, even here in this room, you know of people who have committed some terrible sin, and it kind of rubs you the wrong way that they are forgiven before God now. Let's just remember, Saul turned Paul, that great apostle. He stood by and participated in the persecution and even Christians being martyred. And yet God so forgave him, he raised him up as a great apostle who wrote much of the New Testament. How is this possible? Because of the forgiveness of God. And if you think that you are beyond God's forgiveness, if you think God could never use you, listen to what Paul says, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. yet he was forgiven. And God used him so powerfully. There's none that are too far gone for Jesus. And when a child of God strays or disobeys or rebels, but then they turn back to God, he is ready to forgive. And get this, he wants to forgive us. He doesn't want to get you. He wants to forgive you. He doesn't want to make you pay. He wants to forgive. He's looking for an opportunity to forgive and to restore, not destroy. Isaiah 43 at 25, the Lord says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Did you get that? He said, for my own sake. I'm doing it for my own sake. I'm forgiving you for my own sake. He doesn't want to look at that. He doesn't want to think about it. He doesn't want it to be between you and him. And so he, for his own sake, he says, I forgive you and I will not remember your sins. How can the God who knows everything not remember? Well, he just chooses not to. He wants to forgive. And when he forgives, we need to know this. He forgives all our sins, total and complete. He doesn't halfway do things. And there's no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. You know, the story of the prodigal son was this young man that leaves home and takes his inheritance, and he goes and he wastes it all on sinful living. And then when he's coming back home, the Father, it's a picture of our Heavenly Father, the Father sees him a long ways off and he runs to meet him. Only time that God has ever depicted is running. But he runs to meet the one who has turned for home, turned back to God. And the Bible tells us that he embraced him and he kissed him. But then he says, bring the best robe for my son. Bring shoes for his feet and a ring for his finger. He was not a second-class son. And none of us are second-class children in the house of God. He loves every one of us. And even if you've messed up, even if you've blown it, even if you've wasted what God has given you, I want you to know that you are not a second-class child to him. He loves you. He forgives you. And he is a God who wants to restore. In Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. He said, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I want to tell you, if people just realize how good God is, how much he forgives, you just want to praise him all the more. Right. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. Then in verse 10, he says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. I'm so glad he doesn't treat us the way we deserve.
That's right.
Don't ever hope somebody gets what they deserve. No, God shows us such mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The east from the west. You can go to the South Pole and you can go to the North Pole. Can you go to the East Pole or the West Pole? No, you can't. It's infinity. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7, 18 and 19, it says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You see, that's the God that we serve. He doesn't want to punish. He wants to show mercy. He gives us this picture here that our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. If you took a handful of quarters and out on a boat and you threw them out in the ocean, do you think you could ever find them? They're gone. They're gone. Now, here's what I know. God could find them. But he doesn't want to find those sins. He wants to forget about them. He wants to forgive. He's ready to forgive. You know, there's some that think that they've gone too far. You're not beyond God's love and redemption. There's some who feel like they can't really enjoy the blessings of God because of the things that they've done. You just don't understand how fully and completely you are forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus. He's ready to forgive. This is our message for the world, by the way. The message of reconciliation. That God loves people and he wants to forgive them. He's ready to forgive. If they will turn to him, he's ready. That's our message to the world. And here's the thing. You see, a lot of us are struggling in our own life with guilt and condemnation to really understand fully and completely that God forgives us. You know, we read the story about a woman caught in adultery that they bring to Jesus. The end result of the story is Jesus says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus gave her a fresh start. And if you read the scriptures, you see so many times that the Lord gave somebody a fresh start. And if you've blown it, if you've made some mistakes, God can give you a fresh start. He's ready to forgive. That's who our God is. We, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, are justified freely by his grace. You know, the word justified, it means acquitted, but a simple definition of it that you can always remember is justified is just as if I'd never sinned. And you see, because Jesus bore our sin, our Heavenly Father looks at us just as if we'd never sinned. That puts you in a different place before God. It is a humble place because we know we didn't do anything to get there. Except believe. We just receive what he has done for us. Now, I got to tell you, I think there's a real danger for those that are serving God and living for God and we're doing right. And I want to tell you, one of the ways you can see this show up is when we begin to judge other people and look down on them and say, oh, I'm not as bad as those people. But we get to the place where we think we're doing pretty good and, you know, I'm a good guy and I do what I'm supposed to do and I'm living for God and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And we start to think that we're doing good on our own. We've forgotten that we are only saved by his grace and by his mercy. It reminds me of the story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I mean, he's saying it as a prayer and he's thanking God. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. So here's the guy that he looks good in front of people. He's doing everything right. And here's the guy, he's beating his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says that man went home right with God. The other man didn't. And I'm just saying to you that we as believers, we need to remember that it is not because we're good. It's not because we're better than other people. It is still every day because of the blood of Jesus and what he did for us. We don't have anything to boast about in ourselves. It is him. It's not because we're good. It's because he's good. And every day we need to remember to be humble before God. That's the one that goes home right with God. I believe that's true this morning. Here's the thing about when we've blown it, when we sin. We just have to be willing to believe, to receive, and we need to admit it to him. We need to confess it to God. We need to be willing to admit when we've blown it. I mean, you can't justify it. You can't repress it. You can't pay for it, but you can admit it. Psalm 32, 1 through 5, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit." Get this. He says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." You ever felt that heaviness? I mean, when you were doing wrong or you had done wrong and you hadn't confessed it to God, you hadn't admitted it to God, and it's just heavy. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You see, it's when we confess our sin to him, when we openly admit to him that we've done wrong, there's a freedom that comes. That load is lifted, you see. But we got to be willing to admit to God when we've blown it. I want you to understand something. I'm not talking about that you've got to remember every single little sin you've committed, everything you've said wrong, every evil thought that you had, and you got to, that'd be all we did some days. You know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about when there's something in your life or something that you did or didn't do, and you know there's a conviction in your heart about that, you need to confess that to God. You feel guilty about something, don't just bear that guilt. Go to God and confess it to him and get free from it. Get it out in the open. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's forgiveness. There's cleansing that's available if we confess our sins to him. Jesus taught us to ask for forgiveness. It's in the Lord's Prayer. We're to pray this way: forgive us our debts. We're to ask, Lord, forgive us. And then he says, as we forgive our debtors. And I want you to understand, it's important that we forgive others. It's not adding a work to faith. It is faith with works. We really believe in the forgiveness of God, we forgive others. Our Lord and Savior commands us to plainly. In fact, in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, just after he finishes the Lord's Prayer, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I tell you, our Lord, he's ready to forgive us, but he expects us in faith to forgive others as well. One man put it this way: if we don't forgive others, we burn the bridge over which we ourselves must pass. In 1973, Rudy Tomjanovich was playing for the Houston Rockets. They were in a close game and a brawl broke out, and Rudy wanted to break it up, and so he went running across the court, and just as he got there, a man turned around and swung his fist and hit Rudy in the face. It shattered his jaw, broke his nose. It was such a serious injury, it was life-threatening. The doctor said, you know, the next 48 hours are critical. It was such a terrible injury. He was out of the season. Eventually, he recuperated. And a reporter asked him one day, he said, Rudy, have you forgiven the man that did this to you? And he smiled and he said, yes, absolutely. He said, how could you forgive the man that stole part of your career and almost killed you and you did such harm to you? How could you forgive him? He said, I knew. I wanted to get on with my life. I wanted to move on with my life. And to do that, I had to forgive and let it go. He said, you mean you don't have any anger, any bitterness towards this man? He said, no, none whatsoever. And here's the thing. Rudy moved on with his life. He played basketball. He went on to coach for 22 years. 12 of those years he was a head coach. And he led his team to back-to-back NBA championships. That's what you call moving on. And I want to tell you this morning that a lot of people get bound up with unforgiveness and guilt in their life because they're not willing to just let it go and forgive somebody and get on with what God has for you and what He wants to do in your life. I want to encourage you this morning, that forgiveness that's so readily available to you, yes, you got to be willing to forgive others too. I know it can be really hard to forgive. But if you choose to, and you pray about it, see, it's part of our prayer life. Forgive us as we forgive others. You pray about it, God will give you the strength. God will help you to be able to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He paid the price so that we could be forgiven. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready to forgive. In a few minutes, we're going to receive communion together. And I read in the scripture where it says that a man should examine himself so that he doesn't take communion unworthily. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. You see, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you as we pray that you would just open your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord and to forgive you of your sins. But I also want to say to my brothers and sisters in the Lord today that if there is some guilt, that there are some things that you need to make right with God about this morning, some things you need to confess to Him, maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive. You need to pray about that right now. You need to get that right with God this morning. Let God do a work in you. Because I want to tell you, this forgiveness is free and it's for every single one of us. He's ready. We need to be ready to receive it. I want you to stand with me.